From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Fesco and Dusty.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
A show that, analytically, exists between 6 and 10 weekday mornings on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, buddy.
Live from the studios that brought you.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Here's Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens.
There we go.
That's better.
There we go.
Much better.
And it's still 9 o'clock. So
yeah. Binkley's still complaining about the game from last night being interrupted by weather. I'm not kidding.
He's still texting.
He's still on this thing about the weather interrupting the game last night.
And you can talk to Binkley if you bid on the Burn Theory Brewery package on the Cody and Gold Garage Sale, which will be June 10th on Wednesday next week. All proceeds go to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
You can go find the link, get the pastor link on 96.5 The Fan. You can bid, hang out with Binkley, talk weather, talk football, talk draft, talk Paige Spiranek. He'll talk to you about Paige Spiranek for 10 minutes, as he should. That's his future wife.
100%.
In what world?
Jay's world.
Jay's world.
That's right.
Where
boobs are so magical.
Where TV better never talk weather during a game.
Boobs are great.
Jay's world.
Would you have loved to have been a fly on the wall?
Last night.
A lot of boobs and stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, first of all.
Like, in the locker room after the Knicks win game one, or a fly on the wall in Binkley's living room when they're putting up weather reports in Iowa?
Oh, there's no doubt. It's Binkley. Yeah. I've done the locker room thing. I'd like to see the Binkley thing take place.
He said he was cussing out loud, Matt.
He said, yeah. I'll read them all because last night, I guess, the weather. I told you, get the box, Jake. You got to get the box. So it started at 6:06 this morning with this. Okay. He said, this was in response to, I texted him last night or, you know, I texted him 9 a.m. yesterday and he never responded till really like 6 a.m. today. That's a record. He says, I was livid at Channel 9 last night. We missed the third period because of weather near Iowa. People were pissed. They didn't do split screen until the very end. Almost the whole game was ruined. They didn't do split screen to the very end. They could have done the whole time, but they didn't. I was furious, as were many others. Imagine doing this split screen during the World Cup. Missed 90% of the third period for weather near Iowa. Honestly, Bob, I was mad as I've ever been regarding sports. I was cuss out loud pissed. Look at X, and many were pissed as well. Good thing I'm not doing a show today. I would go off, ha ha ha, on weather people. They didn't figure out split screen until the end of the game. Weather people are the Richard of the week. Let's hope there's not a storm in Iowa to ruin the game tonight. It's National Donut Day. Then he did end it with "It's National Donut
it's
Day."
That's
how he ended it. Yeah, it's National Donut Day. Yeah, he was mad hot last night.
We have a lot of files that just says "pissed dude."
Well, okay. I mean, people
Miami
screaming.
Of Ohio coach pissed.
I remember that guy.
Oh, my.
I forgot about that guy.
Josh Vernier, you're pissed.
Oh.
When was this from?
April 13th.
Oh, this is this year.
April 13th.
Oh, wow.
This is.
What do we got? Another one? Keep playing.
Yeah. This is. This is Vicky who's pissed at the Royals. Yeah.
No, Dusty.
That pause.
Not sure.
Not sure.
Not sure.
Oh, we have a drop from him talking about it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, we got, okay, Russo's pissed. He can't watch Chiefs Dolphins.
On Sunday morning, and top that, I go to church on Sunday. I take Molly Russo out to brunch with Roger Sherman. I can't watch that dopey game. I don't want to, but Roger put me in a tough spot. I got to pray to my God. I can't be praying to Mahomes and Tua. That is number two.
Well, you know, who thought we'd go down that rabbit hole?
Oh,
I just
God.
Typed in pissed to think I'd find the Jerome Tang like pissed. And then there was just 20 files of just pissed off people. But
oh, here's a good one,
oh,
too.
No.
And we'll stop going because you know what? It was a nice Sunday yesterday. I could have gone pumpkin picking. I could have had donuts down in Lewisburg and cider. But no, I watched your sorry ass play. All of us watched your sorry ass play when we could have been down at Lewisburg enjoying cider and donuts.
Legendary. Classic Fesco rant.
Oh, man.
But you don't have to be pissed because the NBA is back tonight in Game 2 in San Antonio at 7:30 on ABC.
Hey, hopefully there's no storm.
NBA, I watch Royals.
exactly.
Channel 305.
Yeah. On the cable box.
Yeah, do you think he's ordered the box? I told him, get a box, man, enough. You don't have to watch this anymore. Just get a box.
Could he set it up?
Go over there and play.
It's a USB and a plug into the wall. Well, I don't know. He'd probably call a help desk.
What about the Wi-Fi?
That's my dad.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I got the new one. Is can I check my email if we get this box?
Oh, of course.
What? Just don't ask. You heard it right.
Yeah, you should have.
You should interfere with my email.
And get the coleslaw.
Yeah. Exactly. You heard it right. So you're going to mess up my email. Yeah, the TV box is going to mess your email up.
I love it.
Mac, I have a question. Do you think we see a similar game two that we saw in game one? And if you do, are you terrified for the rest of the series for the San Antonio Spurs?
Similar how.
Best team for three quarters, fell apart in the fourth.
No, I think they're going to come out differently. I think they're going to learn from that. And I'll be more specific.
And they better finish differently.
Yes, exactly. I think Mitch Johnson will learn from that, and Wembanyama will take something from that. You can't learn and learn a whole lesson at 22 years old from one game.
Well, if Popovich is down there talking
exactly.
to you, maybe you can.
Popovich,
that's the X factor.
Mitch Johnson and Wembanyama being a different level in echelon than every other athlete in the game right now from a mental perspective. Yeah, I think it is going to be different, and I'll say that. Well, it's just Mitch and Wimby. What about all the other players? Wembanyama, and the reason I think he is the face of the league is because he's contagious, and not only to his team but to the league, but specifically for this, to his team, his passion, his preparation, everything. They look to him, and I think they're going to do that tonight. And if they see him as a stone-cold killer, and he's not caring, and he knows, hey, guys, we're up 12. I don't give a rip. We got 10 minutes to go. Let's go. The rest of the team will react accordingly. in my opinion.
You'd like to see that, right? But you said they've got to start faster. You mentioned the word start, and I look at that. They started great. How are they going to finish? And there was a year, I can't remember what year it was. It may have been the Haley thing. There was a T-shirt slogan for the Chiefs to finish, right? Because they weren't winning games in the fourth quarter. They were playing really good for three, and then the fourth quarter would come, and they would dissipate. And so they were like, all right, the next year was like finish. I think it was Haley's maybe second or third year. I don't remember which one now. But that's always stuck with me, like finish. You've got to finish these games. And San Antonio being up 14, let's call it what it is. It's human nature. You start to coast a little bit. All right, you start thinking about game two. It's, you know, a quarter and a half left. We're up 14. We're at home. We've got the best player in the world. And 5 minutes later, all of a sudden you're down because you went into that, you play prevent defense. You know, we see it in the NFL. We talk about it in the NFL ad nauseum. Like, prevent defense prevents a win. And that's why I always talk about the brain being the biggest muscle and the strongest muscle and the most difficult muscle in your body because you don't know how the brain's going to work. And that wasn't a physical thing. That wasn't a coaching thing per se why they lost. That was a mental thing. They did what everybody does. Up 14 at home, quarter and a half to go. We'll see you on Friday night for game two.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they're going, oh yeah, we'll see you Friday night. But now we're down 0-1 instead of up 1-0.
Obviously my eyes will be all over Wimby tonight, but also I want to see Brunson, like you mentioned earlier, what's the leg going to do? How's that going to, you know, it's probably going to be a little tender. I mean, now it's had time to swell or whatever it may do. And,
oh, they've been wrapping that. I mean, for sure. I would love that. You talk about fly on the wall.
Yeah.
The last 2 days from the time that game ended to the time this game starts, be a fly with Brunson just to see what they're doing with that knee.
And then I want to see what Towns can do. That was a big game one for Carl Anthony Towns in the finals where players are, you know, magnified to a whole nother level. And he was big and he was good. Double-double. Controlled the paint for most of the game. And I'm interested to see if he can live up to that, because if he goes out there and has a stinker tonight, we're going to go right back to what we were doing, you know, 2 years ago about Carl Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and last year.
And if Wimby goes out there and absolutely takes over the game, then it's like, okay, here we go. This one might actually go seven. I think I'm with Mac. I think it goes six. I think the Spurs are the better team. But boy, the destiny thing and the the whole Knicks thing is real. Is definitely there.
It's totally
it's real. Yeah,
it is. I got to give the text line what they want. They want more pissed off callers.
Okay.
And who could be more pissed off than our lady in Buffalo?
Most of all, Faith, I wish you well, Sean McDermott, because wherever you go, you will be a success. And I hope you win a Super Bowl. And to you, Brandon Bean, you better show up. You better show up, because the wrong man got fired, in my opinion. You better show up. All my eyes are going to be on you. You think you got in Terry Pegula's ear? You may have, but I don't have the rest of my life. I want a Super Bowl right now.
We do what you want here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Here's the pitch. Rojas grounds it back up the middle, a base hit into center field. Tolbert scores. Thomas rounds third. He slides in safely. Josh Rojas, in his Royals debut, with his second swing as a Royal, delivers a go-ahead two-run single. The Royals lead 8-6 in the top of the ninth inning.
Baseball is a sport of so many different things and flukes and moments and whatever you want to call them. And via Annie Rodgers on X, Josh Rojas went 1-for-3 in AAA today. He missed his first flight to Minneapolis, caught the second one, arrived at Target Field around the eighth inning, and knocked in the winning runs for the Royals in the ninth. He called the day adventurous, sums it up. Royals win last night against the Twins in game 1-of-4, and those are the types of stories that you just love to see. Like, that's just something
fun sports stories.
You just can't make those up. Like, you couldn't ever have that on the bingo card. No. And when you see something like that happen, second, you're Jake Eisenberg there. You can hear that game every night on 96.5 The Fan, Vern's pregame show, as well leading into the Royals pregame show. But second swing of his MLB career, knocks in his first and second RBIs, and then was playing AAA that day, caught a flight, missed first one, got second one, shows up, rain delay as well in Minnesota, so it makes it happen. And then all of that unfolds, and I don't know, man. You can't start a fire without a spark. And if you're going to start a fire and go win 10 in a row, you'll go back to this. Now you got to move on from this. It's fun to, you know, have the moment and be in the locker room that night and have this celebration. Now it's on to the rest of the season. And what can you do to get out of this hole that you're in at 25 and 38? So a lot to be done. But that was one of those fun little stories.
That's also a good baseball story, man.
Fantastic. Yeah. It should be on MLB Network today, everywhere. They should have him on an interview today. If you haven't looked yet, Bobby Witt Jr. currently the favorite to win the MVP. And now a lot of people are starting to attack me on X, which is fine. That's what it's for. You all have a voice and fingers and can text. But a lot of people are upset because he's the favorite because Aaron Judge is out. And I know that we can have this conversation for a little bit, then we can get to more Chief stuff as well. But it's interesting to hear that sometimes in life, it's just never good enough. And I remember when Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, if I'm not wrong, were 1 and 2 in the MVP votings in football one year. I think it was a couple of years. Last time Mahomes won MVP. And
think about that statement. Last time he won it.
and Jalen Hurts, I think, missed the final 2 or 3 games or something like that. And Mahomes ended up winning the MVP. And a lot of people were like, well, if Jalen Hurts would have kept playing, would he have won it? You know, it sucks that injuries kind of deflate it. But like, let's take the acronym of MVP, which is most valuable player. You are not valuable if you are hurt. So I understand that you want to see Bobby Witt Jr. take off, you know, the big man at the top. But go look at his numbers this year. They're better than Judge's. Now he's got more home runs, and he's probably slugging better. But Bobby's got 21, 22 stolen bases. He's hovering around the 300 mark. He's got some home run power showing up in the statistics. He's got RBI. He's playing on a bad team right now and still putting up productive numbers when nobody's pitching to him. But I understand that there's that stuff there. But like, this has always been, to me, Bobby's season to win MVP. I've said that from spring training, and I'm saying that now. And I know that the one thing that I said I'd fear is that we're going to watch this season like we did in 09, where it was a wash and Greinke wins the Cy Young, but you watch for Greinke. And now there might be a lot of people going, I'm going to see what Bobby Witt Jr. can do. He's plus 140, the favorite in the AL to win the MVP. But again, I don't know how you guys feel about that. With Judge being hurt, it's like, well, I guess it's like a second place, first place trophy.
Well, you take what you get, you know, and you take advantage of injuries, or you become somebody who doesn't take advantage of the injury like Aaron Judge is doing right now. He's hurt. So, I mean, what are we supposed to do, stop playing baseball? Because Aaron Judge got hurt? Is the season over?
It's like, not my fault.
Because Aaron Judge got hurt, we're supposed to shut it down? No, you keep on going. But, like, what about, you know, Junior Caminaro down in Tampa? Where's he when it comes to the MVP voting? This guy's hitting 278, 14 homers, 30 RBIs. I mean, he's driving in a lot of runs, too. Yeah. He could be, a candidate for MVP.
Yeah, Caminaro's a really, really solid player.
Third baseman. Yeah. And they're a winning team. They're 36 and 23. And so I find it hard to have an MVP candidate when your team is not, you know, challenging for the postseason. I just think, how can you be the most valuable player if your team is 12 games or whatever under 500 for any team out there right now? I just think it's hard to have an MVP when your team isn't having that kind of success. And so that's why I think the MVP race is probably, you know, wide open right now when it comes to who's going to get it in the American League, whether it be,
Houston doing?
They're not doing great this year, but that's, again, Yordan Alvarez. I don't know that he should be leading and being discussed as an MVP. Like, if you can't help your team win, and I know it's a team sport, what are we doing here? Like, I think it diminishes what we're about, and that's team success. And we, in this day and age of sports, a lot of times we forget about team success. I mean, we had a GD coach in the NBA going, well, analytically we won these games. Like, we forget that what matters is your record. That's it, nothing else. And so I think it's hard to have an MVP in anything when your team isn't having team success.
I think also baseball is more statistically driven when it comes to MVP awards. I understand that
football is
the story. You know, Joe Burrow couldn't win it because the Cincinnati Bengals were in dead last in the AFC North. Bobby Witt Jr. leads all AL in WAR at 3.7. That's disgusting. That's just insane. He has 70 hits, and 26 of them are for extra bases.
I mean, he's doing that, and they are still 15 under 500.
He's got 29 walks, only 50 strikeouts. He's hitting .281. His slash is .356, .462, and .818 OPS. So, like, he's having an MVP season. Plus, he's got the glove. Like, his glove, his bat, everything. I had that, you know, earlier in, you know, the season. Like, what's more impressive for Bobby Witt Jr., the leather or the wood? You know, like, I don't know. Yes, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Shohei Ohtani, you want him to pitch, you want him to hit? Sure.
Sure.
So, yeah, there is, I think, the statistics that lead baseball, I think, is always what kind of gets people the edge in baseball. Like, sure. Ohtani won an MVP in L.A. when they were bad.
Right.
Jose Abreu won an MVP on a COVID season for the White Sox. They made the playoffs, but they got bounced early. But he won the MVP that year. Bobby Witt Jr. can and should win the MVP this year. But we can move on because we had some audio earlier that got Bob really pissed. Not like pissed, like legit pissed from a guy from The Athletic talking about the Chiefs getting stale.
I'm going to now put at 11, and this feels crazy given how good they've been for a long time. I'm going to put the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
This offense is still not very talented to me. We're at a point with Andy Reid where I don't think he's a negative for you, but I just don't feel like where he's at and where the NFL is at, that he is like an obvious plus for you in the way that he used to be. I still do not think this wide receiver core is any good, really, especially if we don't even know what we're going to get out of Rashee Rice this year. And then the tight end room, I can't believe they didn't add anyone. I can't believe it. We've been doing the Travis Kelce thing now for 2 or 3 years, and he's still a functional player. He's not terrible, but I'm just shocked that they added nothing there. And so this to me just feels like a very incomplete pass catching group and a play caller that, again, I don't think he's making you actively worse, but it just feels like things have gotten a little bit stale there and it doesn't feel like they're very additive at this point.
And if you wanted to say that on February 10th, before they made all the changes and got new coaches in and replaced their offensive coordinator and their running back coach and their wide receiver coach, okay, I could have a, you know, but they changed all of that. And I think by having those new voices in there, it's going to change Andy Reid. I speak from experience. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, I've changed as a 50-year-old having you two dopes around me.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You guys
about.
Have made me better as an older person. I'm effing over this with Andy Reid and people talking smack on this guy. What did he say? Andy's not a plus anymore?
He's not a for sure plus.
He's not an obvious plus the way he used to be.
But we don't know that. You know, the changes this offseason could be what now makes Andy Reid a plus, 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 like in, you know, Christmas Story when he's getting his theme graded. A plus, plus, plus. Those changes are what maybe Andy needed to be able to take that next step and grow. When you do the same thing over and over and over again and you have success, you get rooted down. You get in a rut. You just do your thing. And if nobody's beating you and you're still going to Super Bowls and you're still having that success as a team, what's the incentive to go out there and change? Nothing. Nothing. Literally nothing. And when you're going to the Super Bowl, you don't have much time to really do an entire organizational reset because you're playing until the middle of February. And then you're like, okay, whew, all the coaches have been fired and hired. All the players have been, you know, kind of allocated everywhere else. And now we're just getting to the point where our season is over. And now we can review what we did. So I'm sure when they're winning games and you're going to the Super Bowl every year, there's probably, like, when you list your off season kind of flow chart, reviewing our checks and balances was probably very far down that list, right? We're going to the Super Bowl. We're not going to worry about that. And so while they weren't worrying about that, it started to catch up to them. And then it ended last year at 6-11. Immediately after the season, what did they do? They changed coaches. They changed players. They brought in new voices. They brought in fresh ideas. They brought in guys from other systems. And they brought in, you know, a change here to Kansas City. And so if you were saying this because Andy Reid did not make one change on his coaching staff, didn't bring in any new players, that's a fair statement. Andy Reid morphed as much as you possibly can from the end of the season to the beginning of OTAs, maybe more than any other team. What other team has had this many wholesale changes this side of changing coaches at this point in time? So I think that's a fair, like, okay, maybe Andy's stale at the end of the season, but this offseason will tell you, he got fresh again, man. They went and bought a brand new bag of, you know, those cheddar Lay's ruffled chips that they have out there. They bought those cheddar sour cream and onion chips, and they're fresh, and they're ready to go. Had they made no changes, had they added no players, had they said, we know what we're doing, well, then we would have conversations. They didn't do any of that, and they've never
done any of that. This has always been an organization that has seen a problem, identified the problem, rectified the problem, and fixed that problem. So I'm trusting that we're going to see that this season as well.
Yeah, I mean, I will slightly disagree because I think Travis Kelce is unfortunate to his numbers that he's put up in the past, or what he's putting up now are kind of back to level playing field to where it's like before, like, what, 1 year he was like second in the league in receiving yards or something.
Yeah, crazy, that's crazy. Like that. You're right. They're putting Travis in a spot he should never have been in, right?
Like that, whatever you want to do. But I mean, like, there have been a lot of questions about the offense. Like, we were sick to our stomach, you know, for the last 2 years of them running RPOs and seeing linebackers just drop back in the secondary and be like, I don't care if you run, you'll get 2 yards.
Oh, hell, if they come out with RPOs in the first couple of weeks of the season, then we're having a conversation.
And that's not being innovative. Yeah. That's just sticking to your staleness of your menu.
Yep.
And, you know, we've seen that he's had guys like Todd Pinkston and whoever that other guy's name was as Embry's. That's not innovative. That's dumb.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Andy and I respect the Chiefs, but that's dumb. And you got to disguise that by having a generational unicorn talent, Patrick Mahomes. So whether that's innovative or lucky, I'm not hating on the Chiefs, but like from what I've seen in the offense the first 5-6 years or so to what you've seen the last 4 or 5. Now, yes, they went to Super Bowls, they won, so it's easy to not like talk about as a focal point, but it was still, I think, in the back of my head and maybe the back of Mac's head, whereas like some people can be blinded by success. That's fine. But it's like, if the outside looks pretty, what's the inside truly look like? And I think that's kind of the way the world is like, we see a lot of people that outwardly they're beautiful, but inwardly they're very ugly. And that's a good thing that like people can do in life is change your inner before you change your outer, because that's what really matters. And like when you watch this offense in the past 2 years, yes, they went to a Super Bowl and yes, they went 6-11, but the league is caught up. And I am all about this year because Mac had the video of Chad O'Shea and he was, you know, mini Bink out there, like, because that's how much we needed to see this change.
Yep.
Is because it was a freaking wide receivers coach that finally were like, okay, now he's doing it. Because from 23 to 26, there was a lot of staleness in that offense.
And there was a lot of bad wide receiver play too. And now I think maybe we're starting to understand why is that Andy and his altruistic side was giving his buddy's kid an opportunity. They were winning Super Bowls. Hey, maybe you'll continue to learn on the job and get better, and we'll continue to help you along. Then it just reached a head where you couldn't disguise and hide, you know, this coach anymore that wasn't getting the most out of his players. And so then you had to go. Winning does hide everything. I don't think there's anybody in sports, you know, that is not smart enough, but wired the right way to think, let me think about the future while I'm in the midst of this run. It's hard to do. You know, that's just human nature. You're caught up in the fun and everything that's going on. Maybe sports teams should have like there's over 300 people that are employed by the Chiefs right now. I think the number I heard yesterday was like 350 people that are employed by the Chiefs. There's 20 some coaches. There's like 10 assistant coaches, like intern type coaches that are out there. It's a big staff. Maybe some of those guys could be allocated into the only thing you do is look at the future and really give us that organizational once over every single week. You're a self-scouter for us as an organization, so we know where we are constantly today, but also moving forward. Because if you got a guy like that, and at the end of the season you meet with John, whose responsibility is to kind of look at the roster and go through the roster and see where we are projecting for the future, maybe that's a guy that walks in the room and goes, guys, we're getting a little stale here. Maybe everybody, every team and every sport needs that guy who's just responsible about the future and not what's going on right now.
Yeah, I think innovation talks a lot about, you know, being new and being at the forefront. I would say the reason Chiefs got new coaches isn't because Andy Reid's innovative. It's because he had to, or he knew his ass is grass. And this Hall of Fame coaching career is going to come to an end if he doesn't get this S together here with Patrick Mahomes, a Hall of Fame quarterback, at worst, the third best quarterback of all time. So to me, you can't be like, oh, well, he changed all these coaches. Look at this innovation. Am I really excited about the offseason changes here and optimistic about something that will change? Because Andy Reid has enough of a history for me to give him.
But what did you want him to do? These are the things that he can do at this point in time.
No, well, I'm going to get there. Yes, those are things. But at the end of the day, you know, this has been your thing, Bob. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what Matt Nagy says. It is Andy Reid.
Absolutely.
And let's also get out of Kansas City here for a second. We got to remind ourselves we're in Kansas City. Let's take it from a national perspective, Bob. And we would be doing the same thing if it was the Bills. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, look, the Bills brought back an old offensive coordinator that couldn't get a job anywhere else at this position.
Oh, I'm not thrilled about the wide receivers coach.
Well, no, but like, just forget the name. Yeah. Let's talk about the process.
Right.
Brought in a wide receivers coach and a running backs coach. Things are going to change. You'd be like, that's a joke. That's what you'd say. You'd be like, that's a joke.
But then when you're at the local level, you understand why these changes need to be made.
But Derek from The Athletic is looking at this going, I've watched this offense for 3 years. They added a wide receivers coach and brought back a guy that's been there before. Mm-hmm. And they're expecting me to have some revelation of this offense or Andy Reid to have some revelation of this offense. I think at some point, two, now three seasons of something being consistent in front of us or a product being consistent in front of our eyes, you have to start taking that with a grain of salt too and say, okay, maybe this is the new Andy Reid. Now I'm going to give him one more year. This is it.
But what about the fact that they actually invested in a position that they've never really invested in before? Like that's innovative. That's changing. That's doing something different.
This year.
Totally agree.
This year. That's what I'm talking about right now. Like they have made those changes. That's why I hear his statements and I'm just like, I think we're coming at this from the wrong angle. And I really do believe with all of my heart that wide receiver coach was as bad as you could possibly be. Like, I really do believe, and that's not from anything anybody told me. That's my perception. You have a first round pick and a second round pick who have that ability to be great wide receivers, and they didn't realize any of their talent. I mean, there is a big, big, big part of me that truly believes that that wide receiver coach is going to make all the difference in the world with them. And if he doesn't, then that's on me. And then I misread that entire situation. And we do need to get new wide receivers. But I just think having the right teachers are so important, guys. We've all been through it in school. When you have that right teacher that can engage with you, how much better were you in the classroom, right? Mm-hmm. You felt that synergy. You felt believability. And I got to be honest, how many of these wide receivers the last couple of years are looking at this Connor Embry going, the hell do you know?
We'll find out. Because speaking of wide receivers, you know Nate Taylor, Mac?
Oh, yeah.
You know Josh Briscoe?
Briscoe. It's our boys.
Stephon Diggs, the guy you want.
Because I saw people were like, all right, Nate, tell me where he at. Tell me where he at. You know, Stephon Diggs, come on down. When they going to make the phone call, Nate? When they going to work him out? And I just get the feel that the Chiefs are like, we're going to stand pat. We feel just fine with what we have right now. We got an entire offseason program to get through. Yes, our number one receiver's in jail. But Tyquan Thornton, Jalen Royals, Xavier Worthy, Cyrus Allen, Chad O'Shea. And I'm not sure that the Chiefs are just clamoring to call Stephon Diggs.
That tells you they believe in their talent. No matter how much we or you or the other guy or this person doesn't believe in their talent, they do. And they've told you that. And they've been pretty good with talent evaluation over the years. They're telling you it's not our talent. We had the wrong coaches in place. That's on us.
That's on Andy Reid, too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. 100%. Yeah.
100%.
No doubt. Yeah.
Coach Chad O'Shea, big improvement. I agree with you. Terrible last year. All those things may be true. It literally will not mean anything if the playbook does not improve and the scheme does not get more or less predictable.
You're right, 100%. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, it's on Andy to call those plays. But everything that we've seen now has shown us the willingness to change and adjust and to do things differently. Now it's got to be done on Sundays or Wednesdays or Tuesdays or Thursdays or Fridays or wherever the hell we're playing games. Yes. But you get my point.
Yes.
Want to give some respect here. We got a request for a shout out for the Excelsior Springs High School baseball team for winning their Class 4 state championship yesterday.
Yeah, let's go.
This is the best part. Not to mention while their head coach is being deployed overseas.
Oh, wow. Man.
Want it for the coach, baby.
Oh,
how about that story?
Man, my whole body is tingling
Same,
right now.
That's awesome,
baby. Yes. That is so cool.
Once
congratulations.
Shout out to Excelsior Springs winning their Class 4 state championship while their head coach is deployed overseas.
And I mean,
celebrate, boys.
Yeah, awesome, I know my uncle was deployed during Desert Storm and Desert Shield. You're looking for some of that positivity from home, you know, and how proud is that guy right now? He's out here defending our country, and his team went and won the state championship. Yes.
Defended him.
That's fantastic. You love stories like that.
Amazing.
Find that guy as he's being deployed. Let's get him on one of those phones out there. Have him call in from where he is. We see it all the time happen. If anybody knows how to get a hold of that coach, we want him on the show. Let us know. Let us know how we can get that guy on the show. That would be one of the coolest interviews that we ever had. Guy on the front lines defending this country, and his team just won a baseball championship to win state in Excelsior Springs. Let's go. Give us that coach's number. We got to find that guy. I want him on the show.
And then we're all going to cry if he has a son or a daughter and throws out the first pitch and they don't know he's back.
Oh,
and then
God.
You talk about things that'll make your eyes melt. Things that might make your ears melt. We go from Kindness to Richards on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
Every Hardee's is closed.
Well, that sucks.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
The grass in summer, parachutes for the free fall of being younger. I memorize the sound of your bare footsteps running wild. It's been a long time. Life has ways of leaving those days behind, but seeing you tonight, I remembered I loved you.
That is the sound of Taylor Swift's new song that will be featured in Toy Story 5. It will be number one on the playlist Billboard charts here in about 12 hours.
That long.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy to think that's that long.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a funny story. Hey, guys, I thought you'd like to hear this parenting win my wife had this week.
Yes.
Our four-year-old son, who is a huge, huge Royals fan, woke up at 3 a.m. the other night in distress, and we were having a hard time getting him to take a deep, deep breath to calm down to go back to bed. My wife had a genius idea and told him, go back to sleep. Wanted to share or take a deep breath like Bobby Witt Jr. does before he goes into the batter's box and go back to sleep. Wanted to share that with you all. Love listening to you all. Have a great week.
Sweet. Did he take that deep breath and go back to bed?
He did.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Says, take a deep breath, just like Bobby Witt. He immediately lifted up his shoulders, took a deep breath,
hell
just
yes.
like Bobby, and was able to calm
down. You know, people don't understand, and I'm talking, when I say people, I mean my wife, how relieving sighing is. Every time I sigh, she goes, why are you sighing? I go, because it feels good. Like to let out that breath, that... there's a sense of relief in all of that. It just kind of gives you a better feel about yourself. And so if that's what helps the kid, go for it, man, because I know it helps me a lot. So way to go, man.
I'm still, like, amazed at that Excelsior Springs story.
That's great, too. Yeah.
One Class 4 state championship Let's baseball go. With their head coach is deployed overseas.
I mean, incredible. That's awesome.
America.
I mean, at least we get the assistant coach out next week, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Somebody talk about that.
Hello, too. America.
Let's get into Richard of the Week. It's presented by Circus Sports. It's more. It's sports betting the way it should be. CircusSports.com.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
No, sir. Is it Mac or is it Max who's the Richard of the Week for Mac?
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw this.
Did you see this play at first base last night?
You should look it up, Bob.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's your side.
Yeah, that's my. So this is the major leagues, man.
Not the NFL.
Yeah, so if
you get kicked out of an NFL game for a hit like this.
It's ridiculous. If you didn't see it last night, the Diamondbacks are taking on the Dodgers. And you got Max Muncy up to bat, hits a grounder, first baseman catches it, starts sprinting to first base, Max Muncy obviously trying to beat him to the bag. Instead of being on the right side of the foul line, decides, nope, let's center up. Let's put my arms and gear up and lower my shoulder and just bang.
Yeah, it was a hit stick for Madden.
It was
he lifted up on the joystick.
Yeah, he destroyed
absolutely
that guy.
Absolutely was headhunting him. Richard of the Week.
So that brings the, should we have the safety base in Major League Baseball
now? I have
now?
Seen that online.
And
yes.
That, of course, that is taking off. As you would expect on a day like today, where nobody even thinks about a safety base in Major League Baseball, that you see a play like that. I don't know why we don't have. Were you suggesting that last week, sir?
It's because that guy was an idiot.
Yeah.
That's why we don't need it. Just don't be an idiot.
Don't be an idiot. Yeah. I mean, that guy was trucking down the line. And
that was malicious.
Yeah, the outfielder maybe slide in, try to get the angle of it. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to go through it in my head. The runner could have veered on the other side of the line like he should have and veered off into foul territory.
Up.
Yeah.
Dude. Linebacker in the A gap.
Like he, what? he felt like high school all over again, and I haven't hit somebody in a long, long time.
Class of 05.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. I'm going to barrel through and blow this guy up at first base.
Did it look like fun? Yes. Is it okay? No.
Yeah, but
tell me I'm sure baseball contact sport.
I'm sure they're baseball players, so we won't hear from either of those guys for months now. They got oblique, a sore fingernail.
Muncy's not playing.
Muncy spoke after the game, said he has just a sore nose, no concussion. He'll be out tonight's game.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Well,
karma's a B.
Yeah.
Bob, Richard of the Week.
Speaking of hitting people, this comes from Florida. A Florida daycare worker repeatedly hit children with a metal stapler and a shoe, along with other objects, authorities say, landing her in jail and costing her job. Letitia Mullings, 41, faces 11 counts of misdemeanor battery and one count of misdemeanor assault with intent to do violence. The investigation began May 27th when the director of the Mustard Seed Kids in West Melbourne, Florida, called cops about a teacher assaulting several students. The director said she was first alerted by a parent who accused Mullings of flicking a student in the face in the classroom. Hitting him with staplers, flicking him in the face, and then throwing unknown objects at them.
Don't become my Richer of the Week and laugh at that. You still are laughing. You have almost tears.
Sorry. I laughed at the flick. That was funny.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah. Billy, sit down.
You're a bully.
Yeah, and then as she's being fired, she states, my babies are going to miss me.
Oh.
No, they're not.
No, they're going to be. Delusion. They're going to be happy.
They're not. Nobody misses somebody beating them with a stapler, especially a child. That woman should go to jail for life.
Yeah, you've inflicted trauma.
Trauma that kids are probably never going to be able to get over. As we know more and more about mental health and look at our own lives and look back at things, there are certain things that you just never get past. I mean, my Jack and Jill nursery school was hell on earth. I threw up in the toy box. I hated that place. That's why I don't eat grilled cheese and tomato soup. They tried to feed it to me every Friday at 3. Sense. I'm 49. Wow. I still can't stand the sight of grilled cheese and the smell of tomato soup. So that's nothing compared to this woman beating somebody with a stapler and then saying my babies are going to miss me. No, they're not. No.
And they're not your babies.
That's the other thing. That's a good point. Yeah.
They're not yours.
No.
Guys, I'm torn. Very torn on it is. Yeah, Natalie Imbruglia used to be a soap opera performer in Australia. Yep. Cliff Clavin.
Beautiful eyes. Yeah, she was awesome. I love her.
Lying naked on the floor. Prove it.
Still waiting for the second hit, but
she didn't need one.
No, she really didn't.
No,
I love her.
I'm really torn with my Richard of the Week because I don't know who it goes to. I'll let you guys decide. Text line, feel free, 913-586-7965. A South Carolina police officer was arrested on Friday for allegedly aiming his service weapon at a fellow cop for microwaving fish in the station. Michael DeBazzi, 46, a detective with the Myrtle Beach Police Department, was hit with a charge of pointing and presenting a firearm at a person in the June 2nd incident, according to the arrest warrant. The alleged incident involved DeBoise, or however you want to say his name, removing his department-issued firearm from its holster while in the PD briefing room and pointed at another officer. The MVPD said in a statement announcing it had separated employment from allegedly trigger-happy officer.
Did you say who your Richard was yet?
Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's one. I mean,
I don't know who it is. He was placed on administrative leave immediately following the incident while investigations were conducted by the Myrtle Beach Police Department Office of Professional Standards and the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division.
I mean, I could go both ways on this one.
Yeah, this is tough. Microwaving fish?
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing?
Bro.
Hey, come on,
I know. I don't know. Now, you shouldn't point a gun at somebody, obviously.
No.
I mean, it all takes me back to Ben Heisler when I came in one day to do a Royals game, and he was producing the drive with Danny.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In Carrington, and I went, oh my God. He goes, oh yeah, sorry, I had salmon today.
No, you don't bring that to lunch.
Heated it up right out there, brought it in the studio, ate the salmon in the studio. And I've been a Richer because we had the San Antonio tacos that smell like onions in the holes.
Like even Beto, like, bro, it smells like onions.
Beto sent me a text. This is when I knew like the 6 a.m. vibe. He sent me a text at 6:04 and he was like, hey man, we got a problem. I said, what's up? He goes, I don't know who the hell ate onions in here last night, but they're everywhere.
It lasted a week.
I was like, dude, I threw mine away outside. I don't know what happened. He's like, well, the whole board smells like onions. Man. It ain't right. I said, my dad right. beat him. He goes, no, I used to love onions. But yeah, this officer or the other officer, one heated up fish in the microwave. The other one had just had enough.
Yeah, he reaches breaking point like in Falling Down, you know?
Aimed, yeah. Oh, man, that movie's great. Yeah,
Mac, you seen Falling Down?
Oh, man. You'll see what's his face in a different light.
Michael Douglas?
Yeah. You know, he once blamed his wife for throat cancer.
In real life?
Yeah. He blamed cunnilingus. That's a true story. Hey, go do something nice for somebody out there. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, go out there and be kind, be groovy, be safe, be awesome, be you. Be true to yourself. Downtown Days in Lee's Summit. I'll be out there with some people out there. You'll see it. Surfside hat or something. Cody, Golden, Drew coming up next from 10 to 2. We'll talk to you on Monday. Take care, Kansas City.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.